Who?
It's Mary turning it off.
Let me call the April 13th, 2015 Traffic Safety Commission meeting to order. And let's begin with a roll call. And let's stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I got a call this morning from Neil, and he said, "I can't be here. Can you chair the meeting tonight?" And so I guess I get to chair the meeting tonight, and we'll do that. Let's begin with any public comments. I think, Ron Hatfield, do you want to address the commission? I think.
Sure.
And if you don't mind, there should be a button on the right side that if you push the red light, it'll come on.
It did. Yeah, I think Mary gave you pictures of the area between my driveway and my neighbor's driveway. It's really short. It's like 16 feet. And you can park legally there if you have a small car. But the problem is, if you're 6 inches over one way, you're in his driveway. And if you're 6 inches over the other way, you're in my driveway. I've left notes on cars, and everybody that I could actually talk to, they're all George Fox College students, been really receptive in not parking there. But they have guests, and there's other people that don't know that that's a bad place to park. I called the police a couple times, and they may have issued tickets, I don't know. The other problem I have on my side is that I put my recycling can on the sidewalk there, and if a car's parked there, I either have to put the can in my driveway or out in the middle of the street, because I used to just put it on the sidewalk and the guy'd pull right up. My neighbor, who's not here today, he's been here before, he's got an RV, and it's really difficult for him to access his property if a car's parked there because of turning radius. Other than that, it would solve a lot of problems if you could have that 16-foot strip painted yellow. Like I say, most of the kids I've talked to are pretty good, but there's always some friends or visitors, and usually they're sober, but not always, and it gets to be a hassle because they're parked all over the place. And so that's my request, that you paint that strip yellow, and at least they can see that. Whether or not they obey it, that's another question.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hatfield. Let me ask whether there are any commissioners who want to ask questions. I think this is an agenda item, and I probably should have waited for testimony a little bit later, but I think we'll talk about it then. And let's take care of questions addressed to Mr. Hatfield at this point related to that driveway. And I think this is the same one we talked about last month. Is that right, Jason? Okay. Carrie?
excuse me. I was wondering, how often is it happening? Are they parking there on a daily basis, weekly, a couple times a week?
But usually weekly. And since, you know, I've actually gone out and talked to some of them, and as I said, they're very congenial. But if they have a party on the weekends, you know, they're parked. So it's weekly.
Okay, thank you.
It's not daily, because if they're out there more than 2 days, I go out and leave a message on their car or try to talk to them, but I get tired of doing that.
Are there other questions? Thank you very much. We'll we'll talk about it with, we'll get the staff report and we'll talk about it. Oops, should go off if, go ahead. Thank you. Are there any more other public comments? I don't see anybody out there, so I'll assume not. Consent calendar, the minutes of the February meeting were distributed in draft form. Are there any changes or corrections that we should make? Ron?
Yeah. On the first page of it, the Carl Berkey was the vice chair.
Yeah.
And then on the second page of it, the next page, under new business, the villa in Mountain View, the third line down says, usually see those on private driveways. I think it should be, are usually seen on private driveways. That's what made sense to me. And then just below, a couple of paragraphs below that, request for yellow curb. Commissioner Johns agreed with a D in the middle. Okay. And then the next page under staff reports, police. Police are anticipating an influx on the first line, second sentence, instead of police is anticipating. That's what I have.
Other comments? Motion to approve? Ron? Second?
Second.
Carrie? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. The first item on the new business on the agenda is TSC 15-0002, and it has to do with the curb that Mr. Hatfield talked about. Let me ask Jason to give the staff report and recommendation that we can talk about it here.
Good evening. My name is Jason Wirtz with the Engineering Department. The city was requested to consider and look into painting the curb yellow in the vicinity of 1318 East 2nd Street in order to identify a no parking area. This is located on 2nd Street east of Church. It's a dead end street.
West,
thank you. West of Church. It's a section of curb that, with a small enough vehicle, you can legally park there. However, you know, not all vehicles would be able to park there. If they're not directly in the center of that, they would not be parked legally. Currently, as it stands, if you park such that you block a driveway, you are not parked legally. That can be enforced through the police enforcement. That route has been used on occasion in this particular location. The Newburgh Municipal Code authorizes Traffic Safety Commission to decide on location of parking and all traffic control devices. If the curb was painted yellow, it would cost approximately $125, and then it would periodic costs for maintenance over time. The funds are available, however, it would come from the sign budget, which would impede the use of that for other uses. And the staff recommendation is that the commission direct Public Works Department to install yellow paint along the curb at adjacent to 1318 East 2nd Street. With that, if there's any questions.
Does anyone have questions for Jason? Jeff?
Jeff Greider. I've heard two numbers, 11 feet and 16 feet. Do we know which is accurate?
It's more. It's probably more than 11 or 12. It's probably closer to 15. It's smaller than your typical parallel parking space.
How long is a parallel parking space generally? What do you figure?
20, 22.
Yeah, okay. Someone else? Gary?
Do we have any other options that would perhaps be less maintenance for us, like putting a no parking sign there or something?
A sign would probably have a higher initial cost, and they do need to be maintained over time. Occasionally, you know, they get hit or damaged. It's definitely an option that a sign could be installed instead of paint.
In your experience, which is more effective, a sign or a yellow curb?
As far as which is more effective at people obeying?
Yeah, like, because I mean, a yellow curb, in my observation, is harder to miss than a sign.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one might be more effective or not in this instance. People look for, you know, red curb and next to a fire hydrant or yellow curb. In places that I see yellow curb throughout the city, for the most part, people obey that. We don't use the signs. It doesn't seem like we use the signs a lot through Newburgh. Sometimes they're used with paint, not necessarily without paint. Usually with signs, you'd have to place two, pointing with the arrows pointing to signify the beginning and the end. But it's definitely something that we could consider. I know our public works director, our maintenance superintendent's preference is paint rather than signs.
Is there a possibility of putting a sign up that says small compact cars only and then putting an arrow on how much space? Would that even be worth the effort?
It's definitely a possibility.
Other questions of Jason before we close the...
So just to clarify, yellow line would be cheaper and easier probably, right?
That's the preference of our maintenance superintendent. And if a vehicle was parked such that it blocked the driveway, which is the issue that we're trying to keep from happening, as it stands today, that person is not parked legally, and that can be enforced through the current city regulations codes. What we're trying to solve is this continually happening and the efforts by our police department to continually have to enforce this by making a more visual statement.
I would just add that would probably in the long run cost more, sending police out there every time, and it could cause the citizens more time to call it in. This guy's a couple feet into my driveway every time, and yeah, my preference is the yellow curb.
Are there any other questions of Jason? And I'll close the hearing, and then we can talk about what you're thinking and what action we want or direction we want to give the city. Thank you, Jason. I'll close the hearing. Any discussion about this? I think, Ron, you started with your preferences.
I think the yellow line would be like the easiest solution. And it seems, since it is such a small space, and it would prevent people from thinking, hey, I can park here. Because a lot of people don't care if they're over the line a little bit, especially if they're only there for a few hours for a party or whatever. But I think that would help alleviate the situation the best.
Someone else? Any thinking? Tony?
I'm not overly familiar with the area, but is it a case where the reduction of one parking stall is going to put an additional burden on other people? I don't think it will. this also looks like a great spot to do some future water quality improvements.
Go ahead, Jason.
This is an area where recently two duplexes have gone in that have a high number of individuals living there with vehicles that they're parking, as well as in the relatively near future, there'll be some more development going on Church and First, or Highway 219, Church and First Street. I think that's called First Street still. That will have additional vehicles. Parking, the need for parking is there, out there. And that's, I think that's why you're seeing people park there, is because they need a place to park.
One of the things that seems to me is a risk that we run, or part of what we have to struggle with is, you know, how do you, where do you make those exceptions? Where do you draw the line and say, this space is big enough to park in and this one is not big enough? And that's the hard thing. And none of us want to have anybody park in front of our house. And so it'd be nice if we just had the whole city painted with yellow curbs, but we know that doesn't work. And so that's kind of the dilemma, I think, that we're talking about in this evening. And I mean, clearly the space is not as big as normal parking spaces are, but do you want to add anything to our discussion, Brian?
I don't think so. You know, it is less of a burden on the city to paint the thing yellow rather than have the police respond out there two or three times a week and, or whatever the case is, and talk to kids or ask them to move their car or cite them or give them a warning. And we can always paint the thing yellow and see how it goes. And if we need to do some additional signage or whatever, we can always look at that option. But generally, I think they obey the yellow curbs pretty well.
Jason, can I ask one question? What's the legal width for a driveway in the city of Newburgh for a residential lot?
It varies, but I'd have to look at the code.
Because it appears that the house to the left in this picture has added two or three panels of driveway width to accommodate their fifth wheel. So I don't know if that's a legal driveway to begin with, which would take away some of that available parking on the street.
Yeah, I'd have to look in to see if it was permitted or not. That there is the width does vary though, from, you know, a pretty small to fairly generous for a single family home. But I'm not sure what that driveway width is. I didn't look into that. I could do that though.
What's the pleasure of the committee? You want to talk about it, or you want to do something about it? Do you want more information?
I'm leaning towards the yellow line, yellow curb here.
So can I do a motion to paint the curb yellow?
That's what we'd like, yeah. Okay, there's a motion on the table. Chris made it. Is there a second?
Second.
And Ron made the second, and the motion is to paint that section of curb yellow. Do you want to ask about the additional width of that?
I don't think it's going to affect the overall
decision
result
we make
of this conversation, so no.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
It carries.
There was one. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the site distance at Mountain View at Villa Road. Jason, can you? do the staff report.
At the last meeting that we had, a resident came and raised a safety concern with the intersection of Villa Road and Mountain View Drive. She stated that turning left onto Mountain View from Villa is dangerous because of the lack of sight distance. I visited the site and looked into this, and there's definitely a sight distance issue when turning left, traveling north on Villa. You can see the vicinity map on page one of this particular report shows the general area of where we're looking. And I did look into the accident history at this intersection, and there's only been one accident in our history, which was of our recorded history that I had, which was May of 2011. If you go to the next page, page two, you can see two pictures that I took. The first one, figure two, is looking east in the general area that you would be sitting if you were parked such that the front of your vehicle was at the further north crosswalk line. And you can see that the fence and the arborvitae do impair the vision with the way that the road has a slope that goes down, and it's a little challenging to look. If you pull farther forward, you can look at figure three and see what the entire road looks like after you've pulled forward. But in figure three, the front of the vehicle is beyond the crosswalk. You've moved in to the, you've moved on to Mountain View. However, on Mountain View, if you're traveling east, there's a right turn lane, and then there's two eastbound lanes on Mountain View. The right turn lane turns onto Villa, and then the left eastbound lane continues through. And so there's more room there to pull out without impeding through traffic on Mountain View. After visiting the site, I did look into the city's code on the site distance. The code requires that there's a minimum of a 50-foot sight vision triangle. And if you look on figure four, the next page, page three, there's a rough sight triangle that I placed. The way that that works is you extend the curb lines of both streets until they intersect. And from there, you go out 50 feet, both curb lines, and connect with a triangle. And the city code requires that to be, that's your clear zone for your sight distance. So after doing that, you can see that the fence that you saw in the previous picture and the arborvitae are definitely within that sight triangle. Now, the city came and in 2008 did roadway improvements here, and we installed the sidewalk, the curb, that curb return there, and purchased easement from the adjacent property to be able to install those facilities. In putting these facilities in, the property was basically put out of compliance with the city's sight distance, sight vision code. If you go back to figure two, you can see in a relatively safe position in a vehicle, if you were looking from your vehicle in figure two and that arborvitae was not there, your vision would be, the additional distance that you would be able to see was significant, that the engineering recommendation, the staff recommendation, is that the city staff enforce the site vision clearance setback requirement to include the removal of vegetation only. The vegetation was not installed as part of the city project. The vegetation was installed after the city's roadway improvement project.
Did the city do some work on the improving of that side of the intersection?
Say that again.
Did the city do improvements on that side of the intersection?
The city installed that curb return and the sidewalk, yes.
Okay. Are there other questions that commission members want to ask?
There appears to be a fence directly behind that arborvita.
Yes.
Is it not in the way as well?
It is also in the way.
So is removing the vegetation going to be enough to get to the 50 feet?
No.
Okay.
There are a couple things at play here, and I would encourage us to talk about intersection site distance and then vision site triangles, because they're very different things. Do you want to take a shot at that? Because the intersection site distance you can't achieve here just because of the vertical curves, I think. Would that be a fair statement?
I'd have to look at it in more detail with the heights. Just standing in the intersection at the in the crosswalk, you can easily see all the way down that vertical curve. But sitting might be enough that you can't. But yeah, the city code just requires the minimum 50-foot triangle. The actual site distance needed could be more or less, depending on the particular intersection. It also depends on where do you assume is the appropriate place that the vehicle stops to look. And with a right turn only lane, you could justify that you could travel farther into Mountain View prior to making your left turn.
Right. I think, and let me just step out of the role of chair. One of the problems you run into is when you pull up to that stop sign, engineers assume your head is three and a half feet above the ground because you're sitting down. And what you want to be able to see is the top foot of a car coming toward you, and it's assumed that a car is 4.5 feet to the top of the roof. So you want to be able to see something 3.5 feet high, and then it depends on the speed of the roadway, and I think there the speed is 45 or 35.
Yeah, but everybody thinks it's 40.
I'm sorry?
I said everybody thinks the speed is 45 and they go.
Well, yeah, we do drive too fast through there. And I think the intersection site distance there is at least 200 or 300 feet, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, can you see a car that's, or an object 3.5 feet high, 200 feet away from behind the stop bar? And even without the arborvita and fence, I doubt, you know, because the fence can be at least 30 inches, up to 30 inches high. I don't think you can get there but I haven't, I'm like you, I haven't been out there and I haven't squatted down to 3.5 feet to look. I think getting the intersection site distance is probably a first step and a reasonable one. And now it seems to me that there is also a project on Villa. Does that go all the way to this intersection? Will there be any improvements there?
The Villa project does not go this far north. In the future, when more development occurs north of Mountain View with the Springbrook properties, this area of Mountain View is supposed to be improved, but there's no specific time frame for that at this point.
And all of Mountain View is in the city, or is that in county jurisdiction?
City.
Okay.
Yeah, Jason, you know what the future alignment holds for Mountain View? Is that right turn lane that's heading westbound, is that supposed to be the future through lane?
I don't know that. I'm not sure.
Okay. Because it really sets up terrible constructive notice to have to buy a lot of right-of-way on that.
I don't think that continues through. I think the way that the curb was installed with the Villa Road project is where the future alignment of the curb is, which lines up with the next road to the east. I can't remember the name.
Alice.
Before Alice. When they developed, they also put in sidewalk and along Mountain View, and I believe it was just continued through as it is there. I don't think that more right-of-way is needed.
For the future build-out?
For the future build-out of Mountain View.
Okay. So what do you, if we were to get the, try to get the full 50 by 50 triangle, would that require an easement for the city to purchase an easement from that property owner to take the fence out and keep everything below 50, below the, in the site distance zone, because the city kind of created this problem with the project?
I'm not sure that I can fully answer that question. Technically, the way the code is written, the code can be enforced on a property without the city acquiring easement or right-of-way for that.
That's a, but I think also you're allowed to put a 30-inch high fence in the site triangle, vision triangle, and
there's a block. Wall. You can't. You have to be below. You have to be below or above the higher limits of it. I think the challenge that we would run into is that prior to the improvements at the intersection, this property was probably in compliance with the code.
Other thoughts?
The only thing I noticed was that if you do continue, you know, obviously the turn lane doesn't continue, so if you take the right-hand border of the straight through lane and continue it on past Villa, it eventually meets up with the side of Mountain View, and it's an awful lot of space where you can pull up there, as Jason mentioned earlier. Do you know what kind of accident it was in 2011? Was it somebody turning left there? Or?
I don't know.
Chris?
I was just wondering, are there options we haven't discussed yet that don't involve either cutting down trees or taking part of people's property? I mean, there's bound to be like a third option that nobody's brought up. I don't know.
The city could install stop signs because sight vision is impaired. Yeah.
And do you have any thoughts on that? Would that be good, bad, or indifferent?
I would not recommend it for sight distance or sight vision only. I would only recommend stop signs if the sight distance was not able to be improved or if stop signs were warranted for other reasons.
And I'm guessing there's probably not the traffic flow to justify it in and of itself.
I didn't do a traffic study, so I can't say for sure.
I don't think you'd meet warrants for this to put stop signs there. You can meet warrants based on crash data and crash criteria, but one accident in the last 5 years is not going to warrant putting stop signs there. And I think Tony's probably right, or Jason's probably right, that you'd want to be pretty hesitant about stopping the traffic on Mountain View through that section. I think that could be kind of risky. Yeah, it would. That would be a very good place for a roundabout.
What are the options for, I know I've seen in larger intersections dotted lines continuing to show where lanes go to attempt to keep people from, you know, being in that extra space that we've discussed. Would that make sense there, or do you think that'd be confusing?
I'm not sure. I would have to look into that.
I'd be interested to see what that would end up looking like, since roundabouts are kind of expensive.
Well, it's like we want to fix this intersection, and we're probably not going to fix it, but we're just trying to think if this can make it better, I think is what the discussion is about tonight. And does it make sense to gain a few feet of vision in the side triangle by removing the trees? And has anybody talked to the neighbors about removing the trees at all?
I did not have an opportunity to speak with them.
Anybody else? Any? Gary?
If the arborvitae is removed there, how much further do you think that would improve the site distance, approximately? Give another 20 feet of vision?
I think it would be significantly more than that, yeah. Given the angle that you're looking, it's in the location that a few feet of arborvitae is making a significant distance down that line that you're looking. Especially if you consider that it's safe to pull 2 feet beyond the crosswalk bar.
I think it's getting crunch time, guys. What's your pleasure?
Well, quick question for Chief Casey is, what are the traffic laws regarding pulling into a crosswalk if there's no pedestrians there? Are we allowed to do that? I've never...
No, you're supposed to stop in front of the first crossbar. However, that's not a violation that's routinely enforced for reasons like this. We understand that sometimes people have to go into the crosswalk or block it. I mean, so that they don't get into a car accident. They need to pull forward, but you're supposed to stop in front of the crosswalk. But like I said, it's not something that's enforced unless
there's like pedestrians crossing at that moment.
That's correct, a complaint or if we get complaints on it or it does cause a pedestrian issue. Pedestrian safety issue, then we'd do something about it.
I think all of us have used this intersection and we use it carefully or cautiously, and obviously it's not had a lot of accidents or crashes, but I think it may make sense to at least see if we can't make that vision triangle bigger or better, as Jason suggested, but I'm not sure that it's time to take down the fence or acquire right away until we're ready to fix that whole intersection, would be my own personal thinking.
I watched several vehicles take that turn, the left turn, traveling north on Villa onto Mountain View, and they did exactly what you would expect someone to do. They stopped at the stop before they entered the crosswalk, and then they pulled forward until their front of the vehicle was around the front of the crosswalk. Most of them, you could tell they're looking and they could see that they still can't see far enough, so they pull another 2 to 3 feet, and at that point they make the decision when it's safe, when they would make the decision when it was safe to pull out.
So I just did that this afternoon coming home, and the only downside of that, you pull forward and pull forward and pull forward until you can see, and then somebody wants to turn left off of Mountain View and go south on Villa, and it feels like they're going to run my bumper over when they try to take that turn, so I'm not a huge fan of that.
Ron?
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
I'd like to move that we direct city staff to enforce the site vision by removing vegetation on that corner.
Okay, there's a motion on the table.
I'll second.
Jeff seconds it. Any further discussion?
So when you say it's enforced site distance triangle, that would include
removing the vegetation.
So partially enforce site distance triangle by removing vegetation, because it would take the whole fence and everything.
Yeah, just the vegetation.
Okay, so partially.
Mary? You're right. Right. That's right. Any other discussion? Are you ready for the question? Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Dave. Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Next item on the agenda is old business. There isn't anything there. I just wanted to give everybody a chance to make comments on Moji's presentation on traffic safety the other Saturday. What are your thoughts? Do we want to do it again? Was it helpful? Was it interesting? Is it a waste of time?
I thought it was very helpful. That there's certainly more that we didn't cover, so maybe taking into account what it was that we covered this last time and then exploring some of the other stuff, that would be helpful to me.
Somebody else? Was 4 hours enough time? I think you're saying there's...
Yeah, I mean, we could have sat there all weekend and probably still had stuff to cover, but I'm not sure that would be as well received.
Sure. Anybody else?
I really enjoyed the presentation. I'm grateful that he has the time to be able to come out and do that for us. Mm-hmm. I would definitely go again.
Sure. Anything else under old business before we move on to staff reports? Okay, staff reports. I'm going to start with you, Jason.
At the last meeting, I mentioned that there was a request to paint curb yellow on Fulton Street, the north side of Fulton, between the Friendsview Retirement Communities entrance and Center Street. And this section of road is a major collector, which by the city's standard does not allow parking. However, in this situation, there was no restriction of parking. The city engineer reviewed the request, which included signed petition from all of the affected property owners, and has made the decision to proceed forward with painting that curb yellow. I also mentioned that there is a perceived safety concern at the intersection of Deborah Road and Highway 99, and that had to do with the vehicles backing up onto Deborah Road and onto Highway 99 as they were entering the complex with Dutch Brothers and the gas station and the convenience store. And the city's been looking more into that. We've been looking more into that. We have sat down and talked with the owner of Dutch Brothers to learn more about how they operate, to see if there's ways that they can improve their operations to keep vehicles from backing up onto Deborah Road. And we've also have hired a company to collect video during the times of concern to have some sort of a data point to see how traffic was acting at this point and then after the owner implemented some things. And there's a number of operational process improvements and changes that the Dutch Brothers owner has and is putting into place to hopefully improve the traffic flow through that area. So I wanted to give an update on that. We're still looking into it and we're going to see how those things improve that over time. And then I wanted to mention that the city is currently accepting requests for proposals from consultants to design the improvements along Villa Road, which kind of mentioned a little bit earlier. And the scope of the design will include improvements from Hayworth North to Crestview. So a previous project a number of years ago improved Villa from Crestview to Mountain View, which also we discussed the north side of that improvement project tonight as well. And this will improve Villa from the southern border of that project all the way south to Hayworth, just through the dip and underneath the railroad tracks. It's desperately needs to be improved. The current schedule would put this being constructed in the summer of the construction starting in the summer of 2016. The actual boundaries of construction might have to be phased over time because of funds, the availability of funds, depending on how the design evolves and where the project goes. And then I also wanted to mention that that we are currently preparing plans and design for this summer's pavement preservation project and the specifics of which roads are going to see pavement maintenance is still yet to be determined, but that we're looking to have something ready to go out to bid in June for that. So I'll provide more info on which streets we'll see maintenance when we know. And that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Other questions of Jason by any commissioners? Thank you, Jason. Brian?
So this is National Telecommunicators Week. Well, there's one now. How about that? You want to take a bow while you're here? So,
sorry.
This is a week that we recognize and kind of honor the 911 dispatchers. As you all know, they're the first point of contact normally for emergencies. And if you've ever had the opportunity to listen to a 911 call where they're dealing with a life-threatening situation or they're saving a life or providing CPR instructions to a mother, you'll learn or understand the difficulty of their job. And so Newburgh's fortunate. We have a great staff, and Mary over here is their supervisor. And so it's a nice asset to the community to have our own 911 center. So this is the week that we kind of recognize that group. Some other stuff going on in the police department. We've got our new drug dog here, and he's going to be starting training in May. So we hope sometime over the middle of the summer we'll have him trained and out on the road, using him for traffic stops, search warrants, and other drug searches. We believe he's going to be a really good dog, and they are a big benefit for sure. We've had a couple, maybe some of you have seen this in the paper, but arsons. There was a guy who was lighting cars on fire. I've arrested that person, and so hopefully that'll put an end to that. We've had a couple burglaries here in town recently. Some of these burglaries were what we'd call pretty serious. They involved the theft of handguns. And I believe we've made some arrests in those and are apprehending some other suspects involved in those burglaries. But anytime firearms are stolen, that's a big issue for us as far as getting on those cases. We've had recently a lot of traffic accidents in Dundee. that continues to be an area of a lot of rear-end crashes there. And it's, you know, the time of the year we're getting a lot of traffic and a lot of events going through Dundee, and so the traffic's real bad. I know we've had at least three or four this week, or excuse me, last week. So, and then there was one on a three-car rear-end crash on Sunday in Dundee in front of the fire department. So, and then additionally, we had a 10-year-old boy was hit in the crosswalk at Everest in 219 there, where they put the new flashing light in. Now, there was no fault to any of the drivers. The traffic was backed up and it was stopped, and the kid darted out in front of a car. He literally ran out in front of it. So I wasn't there. I didn't obviously do the investigation, but the people that were there, the officers there, said that it was not the driver's fault. So fortunately for the 10-year-old, he didn't sustain any serious or life-threatening injury. So he was sent to the hospital and released. So he's going to be okay. And that concludes my report, unless you have any questions.
Thank you, Brian. Other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Megan, it's nice to have you here. Thank you for coming after the lacrosse game. It's nice to have you. Okay. Let's go around, and are there any comments? comments or thoughts commissioners want to share? Dave? Ron? Carrie?
Yeah, I wanted to give Chief Casey a shout-out. Thank you for doing the Citizens Academy, the Citizens Police Academy. Dave and I both did it, and it was great. We learned a lot, and we really appreciated it. I think my favorite parts were the firearms and the reality-based training, but it was really neat to be able to see the inner workings of how the police department works and learn all about it. It was great. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, and we've had a lot of positive feedback. We've done these in the past, and due to some budget cuts, we weren't able to sustain that, but we're hoping to try to do one once a year now. So, and we would encourage people to try to participate in those if you can. It is, I think, a good time to spend learning about the police department. So.
Did they catch the arsonist that burned down the Dairy Queen?
You know, was that arson? I got to be honest, I haven't been following that. I know that they were looking into the cause of that fire and had some questions, and I just haven't been following it, so I don't know if it was arson or not. So, but it may have been, is what I was told. So.
Jeff, thank you. Is there anything else we should talk about, Mary?
Well, I was just going to mention, I did advise Dr. Hatfield that there will be a 14-day appeal period on
the decision. Is there anything else we should talk about tonight? Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.